about a little bit having to do with Pesach, a lot having to do with just reminding ourselves of very important principles that we always think about when we daven. So the Chasam Sofer tells a mashal, he tells this analogy. Once there was this worker, a worker that came to a rich person and said, "I don't have any job, I don't have any money, can I work for you?" So the rich man said, "Sure, you can do errands for me, whatever. How much you want to be paid?" The poor guy says, "I just want a little bit of food and I'm happy. If you give me food and board, I'll be good." So the rich man says, "Great, you're hired." So he tells him to clean up, to do errands, to do cleaning, whatever else he wants him to do. Cooking and shopping. And this guy, every day, he gets a little bit of food. One day, and the employer says, "You can take as much food as you want." He says, "Ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you." So one day, the poor guy, poor kid, the poor man says to the balabai, to the employer, he says, "Can I have a bag of flour?" He's like pleading, "Can I please have that? Would you give me a bag of flour?" And the rich guy says, "Sure, of course. A bag of flour to me is nothing. I'll be happy to give you." So he gives it to him and he stores it in his room. Next day, the poor guy says, "I was just wondering, maybe would it be possible? Do you think you could spare giving me a canister of oil, a jug of oil?" He said, "Yeah, sure, I could do that. Why not? Of course. You're working for me very well. I'll give you all the food you want." Then next time he asks for some sugar and so on and so forth. This continued and continued. And soon the employer got very annoyed, was wondering, was puzzled what was going on, that this poor guy was hoarding all his food. Why did he keep asking to store the food in his room? He said, "Look, you could have, I'm not, I, the reason I said you should ask for the food is just because you should ask for the food before I'm going to give it to you. But really, I'm giving you anything in my house. You can come right, make yourself at home, and come and take from the pantry, take from our cabinets, whatever you want, anytime you want, come and take." And with this, when the Baal Bayit, the employer, offered him any food he wanted, the guy stopped hoarding. And the Baal Bayit finally understood. He said, "I know why was this poor guy hoarding all this stuff. Why was he collecting all this stuff? And now I opened up the pantry to him. Did he not? Because the way of a poor person," Shalom Roberto, so good to see you. The way of a poor person is he's very worried what's going to be tomorrow. He doesn't know that there's going to be any food tomorrow. So he's very glad and happy to see that he's working and it works out. He got a little bit of flour. Wonderful. So he puts it away in his room. He never knows if he's going to get any more flour, so he saves it. Same thing with the oil, same thing with the sugar. He's hoarding everything in the house. Once the Baal Bayit came and told him, "Make yourself at home. I have $1 million. I have all the flour you want. Come and take the food. It's ready made. It's in the pantry, in the cabinets. Take whatever." He stopped hoarding because he felt uncomfortable. He didn't have to worry about what was going to be tomorrow. So the Chasam Sofer said, that's exactly what we're praying to Hashem. Hashem, we don't want to just know about today and be worried about tomorrow. We say, Poteach yadecha, open up your hands, Hashem. Maspia l'cholchai. Why don't we say, Hashem makes us satisfied. It's maspia. Hashem makes us full. It's wonderful. It's a great bracha to be satisfied. L'cholchai ratzon. Hashem satisfies. So this way, we're not continuously desirous of more. We don't just continue to want more and worried about what's going to be tomorrow. The bracha, the Chasam Sofer says, when we say Poteach yadecha, is really to think about how, if Hashem gives us everything we need and we're sure about it, then Hashem's going to be like the Baal Bayit that's opening up the storehouses for us, and we have nothing to worry about, and we don't have to worry about things taken care of for tomorrow. Hashem's going to take care of us tomorrow. We don't need a hoard. We don't have to worry about what's going to be, and therefore, Hashem's going to satisfy so much that we don't need to have any more ratzon, any more desires, worried about what's going to take care of tomorrow. That's the bracha of Maspil Chochai Ratzon. That's what we daven for when comes Pesach time, that Klal Yisrael had the tremendous emunah leaving Mitzrayim that they didn't need to take anything. They just took the matzah, and Hashem provided for them the man. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our days, should do the same for us. Hashem should make us so we're not worried about what's going to be tomorrow, what's going to take. Hashem opens up the storehouses. Hashem is maspia l'chochai ratzon. Then we're not going to have to worry. Hashem opens his hands wide. We're not going to have to worry what's going to be tomorrow. Now I'm going to start. Any questions? I'm going to start with Hilchot Borer, to separate stuff on Shabbat. It's Shin Yud Tet in Maran, in Shulchan Aruch. I'm gonna read some of it. And I'm not putting it on the screen right now. Maybe I'll put it on the screen soon. But the basic idea, and I want to get into this with just the first line, the basic idea is as follows. HaBorer Ochal Mitoch Psorim. Maran says like this, somebody who separates good things from bad things, Osheyavav Shnimini Ochal, or there are two foods in front of him, like raisins and nuts, Borer min mimino mimin acher. He can separate them apart. So now it says like this: benaf of a kaver. If he does it with a separating utensil, chayav. That's a sermon at Torah. Konin temchui. It's pator v'asur. But if he does it biyad biyadol achol altar mutar. Those are the rules. Three rules of Maran. Let's explain. There's one way to do separating Shabbat that's going to be totally fine, and that is basically different than most malachas. Most activities that you're not allowed to do in Shabbat, it's yes or no. It's a black and white question. You're not allowed to plant a tree. You can't build a house. Simple. It's yes and no. You just can't do it. And you are allowed to make a sandwich. You are allowed to eat the sandwich. I don't know. You could cut the sandwich. But all the things you could do are black and white. Mutter and things that are asr are black and white asr. Most malachas are black and white. And bishul is no different. Borer is very different. When it comes to separating, it really depends on the situation. In the context, Shalom Aleichem. Okay, so we'll see you in Mirtz Hashem another time. Okay, be well.
No, I just had a question.
Oh, you have a question?
Just because it came up, are you allowed to separate puzzle pieces on Shabbat?
Oh, excellent. Okay, I want to get to that. The very short answer is Ikar Hadin Mutar, but. We're going to get to it. It's going to be, it's Taluy in Machloket. Not simple.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, though.
Great. So, the Shalom Levies. So, the rule that Maran is setting up for us is as follows. That, as we said, Borer is different than most Malachos, that it really depends on the context. Unlike building a house, which are always Aser, and building a little, I don't know, building a sandwich is only mutter, it's yes or no. When it comes to borer separating, if it's derech achilo, if it's done in the method and the preparation and in the process of eating, that's fine. Just like the Torah doesn't stop you from eating, breathing, sleeping, talking, and whatever that entails, so too, you're allowed to separate to eat. Right? When I eat, let's say I eat something in my mouth, I eat nuts in my mouth, naturally, Hashem gave us a lot of wonderful capabilities with our body that we separate. Our mouth separates, it separates the liquids. If a person eats a soup, babies are not very good at this until they learn a little bit how to eat. But if you give them a split pea soup with a lot of chunks and water, so your mouth separates out the liquid, you swallow that first, and then the softer pieces, then you chew on the harder pieces, and so on and so forth. Your stomach separates out, you know, as it digests the food. The kidneys, the gallbladder, each of the different elements in your digestive system, intestines, separate further all the food. That's part of normal eating. Same thing with crushing food, right? You're not allowed to, we'll hopefully do that after Pesach, the malacha of lash, of crushing. So a guy you can't make a dough on Shabbat, or even on Yom Tov. You can't take flour and water and mix it together to make that's lash. Can't make a dough, and crushing would be like taking flour and taking wheat kernels, beating into flour, tochin. But your mouth does those malachas all the time. A guy can eat something that's just small little particles, and a guy can eat something that's very powdery, a lot of sugar, or he can eat, let's try to think of a better example. A guy can eat something that's crumbs, a lot of crumbs from a cookie or whatever, and in his mouth, it's coming together as one big mush. That's not, right, for example, making oatmeal. We'll discuss it, but it's a big shaila. How do you make thick oatmeal on Shabbat? Not simple. Usually you can't. You can't make big, thick oatmeal on Shabbat. You have oatmeal and the water, so you're making it a clump. So what do you do when you eat plain oats? So they go into your mouth, and it becomes a clump in your mouth. The same thing with crushing. You're allowed to eat nuts. You're allowed to eat kernels, even though it's going to become crumbs in your mouth. So even though those malachas are generally aser, when they're in your mouth, they're mutter. So Chazal said, since the malachas, these malachas are connected to food, as long as it's done in the process of eating, even before it goes into your mouth, is also mutar. But if it's not in the process of eating, is constructive activity is a problem. Okay? Is that making sense? These two types of avenues, two types of channels, two different types of processes?
Yeah.
Okay. It's to make it easy. The Rav Hirsch says all the malachot says that all malachas are all asr because they're all constructive. Hashem made the world in 6 days and constructed the world. Hashem made something out of nothing, built a big, creative, amazing world, and that's what we're not supposed to. We have to be refrained from on Shabbat. You can't make something that's brand new. So all the malachas are constructive something. But if something's if you're consuming something, that's not constructive. That's very temporary. Whatever you're doing is only ultimately not for a purpose of making something in the world. It's not to leave over something. When you build a building, you leave over an object. You left over a structure. That's not the point of these malachos when they're derech achila. However, if you're separating to put in the storehouse, then you can show somebody, I made a big endeavor today. I made a big accomplishment. I separated out all the chaff from all my wheat or whatever it is, all the rocks, and all the things that are in imperfections in my grain. That's what is constructive about Borer, and that's the problem. Okay, just one other thought on this idea of her says carrying is constructive. How is carrying constructive? You don't see carrying. When someone carries after they finish the carrying, how do you know there's an accomplishment? Any answers, any thoughts? Why is that malacha machshevet to carry on Shabbat? It could be it's different than all malachot. It's malacha gerua. It's a weaker malacha, Tosfos says, because you don't see the ramifications of it. Carrying on Shabbat when there's no Eruv. Any thoughts? Any suggestions? What makes carrying? So you know what makes carrying constructive, Rav Hirsch says, is because it's a social activity. When you carry something to somebody, and somebody else sees that, and you're going out of your four cubits toward someone else in the public domain, from one domain to the next domain, that's a social activity. You're constructing a society. You're constructing a community. You're constructing relationships when you leave your domain and go into someone else's domain. That's why carrying is something that no one can recognize, but yet it is considered constructive. So that's the idea behind. That's the basic idea behind the malachas. When they're constructive, a purpose, that's going to be a problem on Shabbat. But when we're doing something that's for achila, that's for consumption, that's immediate use, that's fine. Okay? Now, let's see the main rules that Shulchan Aruch set up. The Maran had three main rules. One of them is if you do something for a professional way to sift out chaff inside your grain, so that's going to be a problem in HaTorah. So that means like if you have a strainer, and meaning today it's not so common that we sift out our flour, but let's say you have a little piece of food falls into your flour or your sugar. All right, let's say someone was making something and there's a baby formula or there's oatmeal powder, there's some powder in a container, and a little bit of a cookie or a little bit of a raisin or something fell into there. So you want to pull out that raisin or whatever that thing that the cookie that fell into your flour, you want to pull it out, and you want to make it so that so that you can use it more usefully. Great. That's considered, if you would do that through a sifter, that would be chaya, that would be a sermon. If you're something that's not professional, for example, just a plate, just a simple plate that you're going to pour off all of the liquid, let's say meatballs and spaghetti, and you want to get meatballs and gravy, you want to get rid of the gravy. So you pour off the gravy, you pour off the gravy off the side of the plate using a fork to hold it back, or something like that. Not even a fork, you just use the edge of the plate to hold it back, or a pot. So that is, or the pot cover holding back, the water, holding back the noodles when you're pouring out the water. That's not a professional way to strain something. That's not the derech to do the malacha itself. That's only midrabanan. That's only considered borer midrabanan, rabbinic.
Right, that's everything that it's professionally done.
Yes, a professional type of sifter, anything they usually use to sift stuff. it's not, I can't think, in our kitchen, probably a sifter that we use to strain the noodles. That's the thing that we usually use. I don't have so many other good examples. What would be a good example that we use to sift stuff out? Okay. I don't know if people have this, but with the tea bag, some people have like a metal container they put tea leaves into. Not the regular disposable tea leaves, the tea bags. But what if you have the tea leaves, you put inside a little metal box, you put it into your water, and then you pull it out. And you're pulling out the tea leaves so they don't get into your water. I don't know if anybody's seen anything like that. But that would be...
Yeah, we have it.
Okay, so that would be his source. Yeah. That's right, I guess I saw it. Then that would be something that would be used to border to separate out. And it's professional just in the sense that it's meant for that purpose. Okay, now the thing that's mutter, totally fine, it has to be biyad, with your hand. Now, Ramosha Feinstein said, what about can you use a knife and a fork to separate things? Like we were talking about before. Yes. So Salman Ozir, right? Chaim Avadia, Rav Moshe Feinstein, many others, they say, using a fork and knife is just like your hand. In the days of old, in the days of Gemara, people used to use their hands to eat. Today, we use our fork and a knife and a spoon to eat, but it's not that much more functional than a hand. When you're using the fork, you're just doing it because you don't want to get your hands dirty. But it basically does the same thing as a hand would do. And therefore, using a fork is not considered any more borer, any more separating than using your hand. So basically, the three rules are, and then we're going to get to the practical rules. Shalom Isaac, good to see you. The practical rules are as follows. When it comes to using a professional kli borer, a professional thing to sift, that's a problem in HaTorah. Using something that's not meant to be used to sift, for example, like a plate, the edge of a plate, or a pot cover, those are not meant to sift. To separate, so those are only midr abana, and then using your hand as a mutar. Now, there's two other rules, though, in order to allow, and they're all in this maran, one big packed sif in Shulchan Aruch over here, two other rules to allow doing it in your hands. One is, and we'll make a way that you can remember it soon, but has to be la'alter, Shulchan Aruch says, it has to be for immediate use. It has to be that you're separating it, so this way you're going to use it immediately. And then the third condition has to be ochel mitopsal. That's the first line Shulchan Aruch began with, is if you're separating the good from the bad. Okay, so those are the three rules. The way you can remember, and maybe hopefully we'll remember this, or you think of a different way to remember this, is people say, and there's a book called Ayel Meshulash. It's based on the breed of Inamitarim, the covenant that Avraham Avinu had with a ram that he cut in three parts. Anyway, the ram... The Ayel Meshulash. This Ayel, this ram, so how do you spell Ayel in Hebrew? Aleph, Yud, Lamed. So those spell the three things that Shulchan Aruch just spoke about. One is Aleph, is Ochel. You have to take the good, take the Ochel, take the food, don't take the psul, don't take the bad. So the first rule is Ochel. Second rule is Yad, Yud for Yad, take your hand. Shalom Ez, you take with your hand. The third rule is that it is La'alter, Lamed. You take it for immediate use. Shalom Jake, good to see you. Huh. Good to be back. Okay, so now that's the basic rules of how you can separate just about anything. As we said before, this is very different than most malachas. Most malachas are yes or no. Borer, you could just about find a way to matir, permit most things at all altogether in borer. Okay, any questions about borer, or I'll provide some questions. Any questions that people have they can think of regarding separating?
What about pistachios?
Good. Can you take off the shell from pistachios? Excellent. Take off a banana peel. Can you do that? Can you take off, if you open up an avocado, could you take out the middle pit?
Yes.
Could you take out the pit? Could you separate, let's say you want to make, before the meal, you want to make a salad, and you're not going to eat it immediately, so you're making, a tomato salad or an Israeli salad, and you cut a tomato, and you want to take out the seeds. But you're not going to eat it immediately. You're going to eat it in 20 minutes, in a half hour, an hour. Is that allowed? Could you make it in Shabbat morning for a later Shabbat day? Same question. Are you allowed? Same questions. What about what Kovi asked us in the beginning? Are you allowed to separate puzzle pieces? Or we can make it more general. What about if you have toys on the floor? My kids like to dump out the toys. What happens when we have a big big mess of the toys on the floor all over? So are you allowed to separate those up? I'm sure in the Levy house, this is probably not, this probably hasn't happened ever. Everybody's very good. They don't make any. So are you allowed to do that? What were you saying, Salo?
I think you're not.
Okay, so we'll have to say, we'll just try to see, are there any cool load to figure out how you can do that?
I don't know, maybe with machinery or something, I don't know.
Maybe with what?
With a shinoi.
Shinoi. Okay, maybe. We'll see if they can use a shinoi.
I thought of another utensil, a slotted spoon.
Excellent. Oh, that's a great one. Thank you, Ma. The slotted spoon is definitely a good usually used to separate. So therefore, using a slotted spoon, if you're using a slotted spoon just to take dry things, like taking rice or chicken or, you know, some meatballs without gravy, that's totally fine. But using it to separate out the gravy is going to be a problem. That's a great example. Fine. Now,
So the slotted spoon, if you use it just to, like, take, if you don't care about the gravy, like, you're just taking the meatballs, like, even though that you're going to separate the gravy,
Then we'll have to get into psikoresha. If you do want the gravy, if you want the gravy to come with it, so then it's probably not considered separating.
But like coleslaw, when you don't want all the mayonnaise, you just want the cabbage.
That's another good example. So you take out the cabbage, right? Okay. There are lots and lots of examples of border. I'll give another example. What about if you have a lot of papers or books? I have a lot of svarim, a whole big pile, or you're in shul, synagogue, or you're at home, and you have a whole big pile of a lot of sidurim, chamashim, svarim. Are you allowed to say, oh, I have to put them back, I'm going to take this one, it goes over there, this one goes on this shelf? Is that allowed? What do we people think? And then we'll try to answer some of these questions. All right. And last, I want to ask a question. I'll just present it easily. The halachas of Yom Tov, Pesach is coming up, so it's good to say, are very easy when it comes to border. Most other malachot are usually very similar between Yom Tov and Shabbat, except Ochel Nefesh, you get allowed to prepare food. But I'm not getting into all halacha Yom Tov. When it comes to border on Yom Tov, we said there are three rules of Shabbat. It has to be Ochel, has to be Yad, it has to be La'alter. It has to be immediate use, it has to be good things, and it has to be with your hands. When it comes to Yom Tov, you're even allowed to do it Psol mitov Ochel. That rule, the first rule of Ochel, goes away. Okay? You're still supposed to use your hand or a fork or knife, and you're still supposed to do an altar for immediate use, but you don't need that first rule. You don't need three rules, you just need two rules. Okay? You don't need that first rule of doing Ochel Mitov Psol. Okay? So therefore, on Yom Tov, it's a little bit more, we're a little more makel, a little more lenient, and the reason for it is because it's also part of the derech. We have a much broader, expansive definition of what's derech achila, what's preparing food. All right, so let's get to some of these questions.
One last question.
Yeah, please.
So basically what happens if you separate the food? Sorry for my brother.
Okay.
So basically what happens if you separate the food in the plate. Let's say you have some rice on top of the chicken and you want to take the rice out of the chicken. Is that allowed?
Rice, okay, you want to separate them off. Okay, very good. Fine. So there are a lot of things over here. We're going to try to get to we're going to get to as many answers as we could today, and if we don't get to every answer, we're going to finish up the answers on Wednesday. So the first Ramah on this Shulchan Aruch has an important qualification, not just for Ashkenazim, but for Sephardim as follows. It says in the Ramah, Kol mashabor lasor otesuda shemesaba mikramiyad la'altar. Whatever you're doing for the immediate meal, that's considered immediate. So, for example, if you're making a salad in the beginning of the meal to the end for the later in the meal, that's considered miyada, considered immediate. Also, even if you're doing it right before the meal, that's also considered immediate. Okay? But, you know, same thing with a snack. From the beginning of the snack to the end of the snack, that's considered one time period. That's considered lauter for immediate use. But what about from Shabbat morning until the meal? That's not considered immediate. The Ben Ish Chai gives a good rule of thumb. He says about a half hour. Half hour is considered immediately before the meal. The Rav Avadya doesn't go with a half hour. It says it depends on how long as it takes you to make the foods, get the foods ready for the meal. For some people, it takes them 2 minutes to prepare the salad before the meal. Some people it takes 10 minutes. Some houses it's going to take an hour. So however long it takes you, that's how long you have to make the salad before the meal.
Sounds like a good heter for the big parties, because if you're serving 1,000 people, then you're not going to be able to do it within 30 minutes. But if it's as long as it takes, then that'll buy you extra time for events.
Very good. That's true. Once they had, in the Sephardim in West Orange, they had a kid, they had a, I think on Simchas Torah, they were going to have a big meal with the Sephardim a night. It was the second night or something of Simchas Torah, and they wanted to know if non-Jews could make Israeli salad during the first day of Yom Tov or the second day of Yom Tov. So now, what's making Israeli salad? So making Israeli salad sometimes involves separating the tomato from the seeds. Also, it involves chopping. We'll discuss that hopefully a different time. But chopping things into very small pieces, tochin, is a malacha you have to figure out. We allow it for immediate use, tochin, but not for not immediate use. Same rules over here. So that, it was a big question. But when I was discussing, when I was talking about this with Rabbi Sharbat, he said, okay, but it's going to take them a long time to make the salad because they're making a lot of salad. So the question is, could you do that a few hours in advance? So anyway, in that particular case, there's no reason to have to do it a few hours in advance. But yes, sometimes for a very big thing, that example was not a good example to do a few hours in advance, but sometimes, yes, it would actually be true. It'd be a few hours in advance, would still be mutter according to Rav Avadya. There are some Rishonim hold even one meal to the next meal. So you could do after Friday night for the next day. We don't hold like those Rishonim, but that's a sniff l'hakel. We use that as one factor, sometimes be lenient when we need to. Not we're not making about that opinion. We follow this Ramah, but if we have other factors, sometimes we are lenient. Okay, what about now branching out to a new topic, a very important topic? What would you say about Shalom Shimon? Good to see you. So we're discussing Borer. What would you say about non-food items? Like we had puzzle pieces or games or toys. The kids make a mess, and I have a big pile that he can't walk through of little cars and Duplos and whatever. Are you allowed to separate them? So does the halachas of borer apply to non-foods? So this starts, some people bring a proof, they discuss it with the Ramah, not what we just read, but they discuss with the Ramah in Sif Gimel. I'm skipping to Ramah in Sif Gimel in Shin Yotet, who says, if you have fish, a plate of whatever, salmon or whitefish. And he says, if you have two different types of fish, if you have one fish you like, one fish you don't like, you cannot separate the two types of fish. Okay? Or you have one type of fish, but they're a good piece and bad piece. That's also called separating. However, he says, asur levor acham echaver, el biyado, kidei lachlan lachlan miyad. If you follow the rules, you can eat with your fork in order to eat it for immediate consumption. That's totally fine. But otherwise, you cannot separate the two types of fish. Now he says, he said, even though they're large pieces and you can identify the fish, still, that's considered separating. So separating doesn't just mean when you have in a bag of flour one little rock and you're diving into that bag of flour to find that little rock to remove it. That's not the only case of borer, where it's hard to find. A needle in a haystack. That's not the only case of borer. Borer also applies to things that you can recognize. We'll talk about how far to take that in a moment. But the part I really want to get in the Ramah is, he says, Al-Bishar borer, Chatiha Gedolim, Tochatanot, big pieces and small pieces, is not considered borer. It's Koshu Min Echad. Al-Bishar borer, Chatiha Gedolim, Tochatanot, Lemikri borer. Okay? So in other words, if you have a lot of fish, big pieces and small pieces, or someone makes a brisket or a steak, and they cut a lot of pieces, and they make a lot of pieces. Some pieces are big to go small. So they want to separate the big pieces and the small pieces. Or they want to order it and put the small pieces to this side, the big pieces over there, so this way people could take and know what they're getting. That is mutar, says the Rambam, because that's all one type. That's not considered two different types of things. So Rabbi Kivaker asks on this Ramah, fascinating, very important Ramah. Rabbi Kivaker asks as follows. He says, why are fish considered borer? Fish don't grow from the ground. The only thing we know in the Mishkan, what they did borer in the Mishkan, they had flour. They took kernels of wheat, they ground them up, and they had to take out the chaff in order to make flour, to make lechem upon it, make bread in the Mishkan. Or they had to make dyes, and they had to take out the imperfections in the berries and whatever was in the dyes. Okay, but that was things that grew from the ground. How would the Ramah know to extend that also to things that were not growing from the ground? Maybe, just like the other things of preparing the first 11 malachos, first 11 malachos are all related to making bread, only apply to things that grow on the ground, and not to fish. That's really Kager's question. So there is the Or Sameach. There is an Or Sameach who says the answer to the question, he disagrees basically. He disagrees with the Ramah. He says there is no such thing as borer by non-foods, or even foods that don't grow from the ground. Fish don't grow from the ground, therefore it's not considered borer. It has to be very similar to bread. Anything that's not similar to bread, there's no such thing as borer. And he's trying to explain to Yerushalmi. This explains a different part of the Ramah, and this is here we're going to try to answer some questions already. Yerushalmi says, if you're looking for something, let's say you play hide and go seek, or you play manhunt or whatever, I don't know, any kid games or adult games, you're searching for a person. Red Rover, I don't know what the games are. You're looking for a person, and you have a group of people, and you call, you say, I want this person to come. Let's say Red Rover is good, or I forget, whatever it is. You want to break the line, you have whatever. You want someone to come, so then is that considered borer? So the Yerushalmi says, nah, that can't be borer. That to separate a person from a different crowd, or if Chas HaShalom, if they have somebody the police are looking for, and they find a crowd, are they allowed to go into the crowd and grab that person and arrest him or whatever it is? Is that considered separating? Yerushalmi says, what? No such thing as borer by people. So, it's a machloket, actually. Rav Chaim Kanievsky and other people, they read the Yerushalmi saying, what, you mean something that's not borer? They read the Yerushalmi the other way. That of course it's borer, but we assume that that's of course not borer. So, assuming that it's not course borer, it's, of course it's not borer. So, if it's not borer to separate people, why is it not borer? What do you think?
They're never a mixture in the first place.
Right, the whole universe has a lot of chaos and things that don't come together. All the galaxies, we don't call one big tarovet. We don't call all the books on the shelves over here to be a mixture. There's no mixture. Things that have their place, you can identify them, are not considered a mixture. Just because there's a lot of chaos in the world doesn't make something to be a mixture. So just because I have on my plate rice and chicken on different sides of the plate, we don't say all of a sudden, oh, that's a mixture. They're separate sides of the plate. Now, the problem is the Ramah. Yeah, go ahead.
So basically, if there is a separation between the two things, it's not considered a mixture at all, so you are fine to separate it.
Right? Excellent. True. That's very good. That's right. Also, the Ramah, though. The Ramah sounded like he wanted, from the Trumas Edition, he was not too sure about this. He said, let's say you have different pieces on a serving plate of fish. And there's two different types of fish. White fish and, I don't know, two types of whatever, tilapia and different white fish, whatever, two different types of white fish. A better quality, worse quality type of white fish. And you want to separate them so everybody knows. So the Ramah says, even though it's nikar, it's identifiable, you still can't separate it. So some people say, you see, he doesn't hold like that Yerushalmi. He must hold that even though people, you can separate them and see them, that's considered a mixture. So I think that's not the case. I think what we mean here is, and that's what most poskim I think say, is something that's, they are nikar, they can identify them, but they're still a little bit blended together. They still come together as in a pile that you can decide to look at them if you want to as a mixture. Contextually, they can be understood as separate items, but they can also be understood as a mixture. That's the type of thing where the Trumas Nedesha had a suffix. Sal? Good. So now, if you have something that contextually, sometimes people would look at that as a mixture, some people wouldn't look at it as a mixture. That's the type of thing the Rama says you have to treat as a mixture to be strict. And you can see that in the Trumas Nedesha, because the Trumas Nedesha had a suffix about this. He wasn't sure about this, and he still said, suffix deraita lechumra. When you're not sure about something that's minotara, you have to be strict. But he would never be strict about something that's absolutely not a tarova, not a mixture. And a proof for this is like this following. The Gemara says in Shabbat, there are two rabbis that came to visit someone else, and he had a big bowl of fruit. And he wanted to serve them. There was apples and peaches and oranges and whatever other delicious fruits they had. And he didn't want them to have to do separating. Borer on Shabbat. So you know what he did? He took the basket and he dumped it out in front of them. And it's spread out all over, whatever, the table. So there was an apple over there and a orange rolling down the table that way. And there was no more borer. The Gemara says, oh, he absolved us of the problem of borer. Why? Because when things are separated on the table, so far apart, obviously it's on borer. Okay, so that's the opinion that we follow. If something's very separated, there's definitely no borer. If something's very close, then it is borer. Okay, we are machmer for the Ramah, but only to the point where it is it's close. But people are certainly not going to be bored, no question. So, when it comes to, now I'll try to answer some of the questions. But I think this is what the background we gave is going to try to help us answer some of the questions. Chaim Avadya had the case about a stack of books. Let's say he was talking about a gabbai in shul. He's going to clean up a stack of chumashim, sarim, papers, or by the kotel. By the kotel, often it's true that you have a lot of people come to the Kotel, not unfortunately today. But you have a lot of Sidurim. What are you going to do? Shalom, Dr. Levy. Huh? It's so good to see everybody involved. Okay, so what do we say about cleaning up the Sidurim? So Chaim Avadya gives two reasons to allow. One of them is, first of all, maybe you're going to use them later on Shabbat. When you clean up the Sidurim, you might use them later on Shabbat, even though it's not an altar, not using them immediately now. But there are opinions that allow even a whole 12 hours apart from meal to meal is also considered la'altar. It's also considered immediate use. So that's one opinion that we can rely on. The second thing is, maybe, that there's no such thing as borer when it comes to non-foods. Like Remeir Simcha, as well, as long as they could be identified. You can identify the Sidurim. Okay? So does that make sense? If you have a stack of books, stack of Sidurim, you can separate them. That's Chaim Avadya's opinion. It's not considered borer. Okay? So now I want to now extend that. What do we say about puzzle pieces? Or if someone's playing a card game, they have Uno, or I don't know, they want to separate, or a president, and they want to put the cards in order. They want to do 2, 3, 4. Could you separate your hand, or Monopoly money, or whatever? You want to separate the pieces. So I would say, now, if you want to clean up the toys, let's first do cleaning up the toys. Cleaning up the toys you're not going to use right away. Still, I think there's what to be mekel. There's what yesh amal smoke to be mekel and Chaim Avadya because of the two reasons we said. One reason is you might use them later in Shabbat. Shouldn't do it a minute before the end of Shabbat. One reason is you might use them later. And two is that, and that's la'altar, it might be considered immediate use even if it's a little bit while later. And two is it's a non-food item. And now if it's...
Why don't you just separate all the pieces in front of you, like throw them up in the air?
And then very good. You could do that. If you could use that solution, Rav Yashiv said that's a great solution. Anytime you have a question with silverware and you want to scatter them a little bit on the tablecloth, that's okay. But once I got married and I was trying to do that all the time, throwing the silverware all over the tablecloth, at some point I learned that it's not a good Derek Harris thing. So the same thing you have to figure out. In some places it works, some places it doesn't.
Shalom bias,
yes. That's a good answer. So yeah, so that is a good option. But there is what to be makel, I think, on the things we spoke about. Now, what about the card games? Even more reason to be lenient. You don't need to rely on those two things, because usually that's immediate use. When you arrange the president cards in an order, or poker, or whatever, you're arranging them in order, you're immediately using. That's the Or Litzion. He says about the card games. However, someone was asking me about I think games where you throw out cards, goldfish maybe, goldfish, or card games where you get rid of cards. You don't like them. You want to discard them. You're throwing them out. I don't know. Uno is like that, but Uno I'm not sure is a good example. But you're trying to get rid of cards, so you're taking the bad out of the good. You're trying to get rid of, or maybe even president is like that. You're trying to get rid of a card. You're trying to hold on to the good cards. So then I'm not sure. So I think like this. I think according to what we said, there's what to be made anyway for Hamavadi because it's non-food, it's distinguishable. But besides that, I think Oratzion might be Mekel as well if you think about discarding as a play, as an action. I'm deciding to play it. I'm taking the card and putting it down. That's an action I'm doing with the card. If you think of it like that, then you're considered La'alter. You're doing a use with the card. Okay?
And maybe your bad card is a good card for someone else.
Very good. Okay. It's possible. It brings a good question. Am I allowed to separate for somebody else? For example, let's say my wife doesn't like when she gets onions in her salad. So she doesn't like them, but I like them. So she takes out the onions and she puts them on my plate. Is that okay? So let me try to find that. That is found in the Ramah. The Ramah says that's mutar. Because it's separating for the process of eating. It doesn't have to be for you. It could be even for other people. For little babies, that's very practical. You have to separate. You're taking watermelon seeds out of the watermelon for the little kid to eat. The bones out of the chicken so the kid can eat. That's totally fine. That's the first Ramah, right after the first line that we read, by the little vav of the Mishnah Berurah. It says in the Ramah, Afil achirim ochlim imo shari. Oh, that was okay. That was not the Ramah. But that's the idea. There is a Ramah that says the same idea. As long as you're doing it for other people, they're going to eat it, that's okay. So, Shimon, good idea with the president and the like. Okay, we're going to try to get to more questions about the Borer. We didn't finish everything. I said one cool up today about the Sidurim. We'll get more on Wednesday. I just want to finish with a little story. There was once a person, I'm trying to remember. Okay, the Slonim Rebbe, the Siva Shalom, was a Hasidic Rebbe. He survived the Holocaust. And he lost, he lost a lot of his family, he lost all of his kids or something, and then he rebuilt his family when he went to Eretz Yisrael after the Holocaust. And there was somebody else from Slonim, this town in Europe. Most of the town was totally destroyed. There's somebody else that survived and had nothing, had no wife, no children, nothing, after the Holocaust, and was living in Yerushalayim. And this is, 1950s. Right after the Holocaust, 1948, whatever it was, and or maybe even 1945, I don't know. And the Pesach Seder was coming up, so the Slonim Rebbe, the Nesiv Shalom, invited this man who had no family, no wife, and no kids because they were killed in the Holocaust. He invited him for Pesach Seder. So he invited him to come over for the Pesach Seder. So he came over. He was so excited about this. He waited for the Slonim Rebbe at the end of davening to greet everybody. At the end of shul, he greeted everybody. He was waiting very long, so this way everybody would leave. Finally, he went home with the Rebbe. He was walking and walking, and finally gets to the Rebbe's house, and he sees the Rebbe's house. And when he comes in for Pesach, everything looks beautiful. The table set with a white tablecloth. There's china set. All the dishes are there. There's glasses. There's silverware. There's flowers. There's Seder plates. Everything is set with the salt water, the egg, the shank bone, A to Z, soups to nuts, the whole story. Everything is beautiful, and he's so excited, and he was having a very hard time globally getting over the tragedy of the Holocaust and being alone by himself with no family in Yerushalayim and having no direction in life. And he felt like he had nowhere to go. He had no idea what to do with his life, but he was very excited about this Pesach Seder, and he was going to get a little bit inspired. So he was there, and then the Slonim Rebbe sits down and says to his kids, he says, kids, come, we're going to, they had some kids after the Holocaust, the Slonim Rebbe had some little kid, and his daughter comes and says, Tati, whatever, Dad, we're going to start this Pesach Seder. So the father said, yes, and there's some candy on the table, I'm going to put the candy out on the table because we're going to have candy towards the beginning of the meal to keep everybody awake. If you answer the questions right, we're going to get candy. So the girl gets excited about the candy and starts to pull the tablecloth. And she's a little girl, 3 years old, whatever. She doesn't realize. And by accident, she starts pulling and pulling. And shatter. Everything bam, and then things break, and it continues to pull and pull, and more china breaks. A terrible mess. And it's a lot of noise, a lot of mess. All the wine, all the matzo that was on the table spilled, ruined the tablecloth, and a lot of the china just broke. And the guy is sitting there in the corner. He's thinking, "Oh my, the Slonim Rebbe, this Chassid, he's going to be so upset. He's going to kill his daughter. He's going to be so upset with her because she just ruined everything. And I was waiting for such a beautiful Seder. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to sit here for an hour and listen to him scream to his kids and get upset with his wife. And I'm so hungry anyway. I'm going to wait another hour." So he sees the Slonim Rebbe very calm, takes his daughter in his hand and says, "Come with me." He goes to the window and says to his daughter, "Look, do you see the stars outside?" And she says, "Yes, I see the stars." He says, "Do you know that? You know how many stars there are?" And she says, "No, I can't count. There's so many, Dad. Tati, there's so many." He says, "You know all the stars in the heavens? There's millions and millions of stars. There's billions of universes and stars and planets all floating around. And if there was no order to anything in the star in the galaxies and the stars, everything would collide and crash, and it'd be a tremendous chaos." And there'd be nowhere for anything to go. But Hashem says, "Look, there's a big chaos. It looks like there's nothing I can do about this, and there's no way to make sense of it, but I'll take care of it. I'm going to put everything in order. It doesn't look like it makes sense, but I'm going to show you that it will happen, it will make sense, and everything will flow in the right place and continue that way and come out to be a perfect plan that in the long run you'll understand." So he said to his daughter, he said, "Look, there are a lot of pieces on the floor right now. It looks a lot like a big mess. Help me, we'll put it together, but don't worry that there's a lot of big broken glass pieces and everything is a big mess. We're going to put it together, and it's a lesson for life. You can put together things that are a big mess and things that don't make any sense right now with Hashem's help." So this guy who was sitting there said, he took such an inspiration, this guy said to this girl, he picked himself up, I think he got remarried, and he picked himself up, he rebuilt a life after the Holocaust. It's always possible to pick yourself up from broken situations. It's possible. It takes a lot of effort with Hashem's help. Right? We started Maspil L'Chokha Ratzon. Hashem gives us the bracha that, like the rich man gave that poor person, so he shouldn't have any more desires. Maspil L'Chokha Ratzon. Hashem gives us that shouldn't have any more desires to continue to want things. Hashem will take care of all the things we need. Right, Chazak
Baruch. Beautiful
story. Thank you.
Okay.